Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Revolutionary Sports Show, January 15th, 2014 edition, the first episode of the new year. I'm sitting over here in Seattle. We got Corey Sullivan and Pullman. You know it's going to be a good show when you got people rooting for the Dogs, people rooting for the Cougs in their respective locations. So I'm Brian Duchesne.
And I'm Corey Sullivan.
Welcome to another episode. We're going to kick it off by talking about the Hawks' performance against the Saints. And you saw them come out with a 23-15 victory over the Saints in the divisional round. Now they got a little tougher opponent, San Francisco. Kind of makes me a little bit nervous, but they're playing at home. They got the 12th man. Should be interesting to see. Hopefully Colin Kaepernick just gets pounded by the Seattle defense and the rest of the 49ers like they have. Cam Chancellor be picking on Vernon Davis all day. You know, it's going to be fun to watch. But Corey, what do you see in this upcoming matchup and in the last matchup? The keys to winning this game against the 49ers. We saw last time against the Saints, they had a 23-8 lead. They almost blew it at the end, but they hung on to win. What are they going to have to do against the 49ers that they didn't do against the Saints to beat them?
I think they just need to do what they do every time that the Niners come to Seattle, and the Niners struggle mightily. Kaepernick has his worst showings ever against Seattle. And they just need to play good defense. They need to, you know, give the ball to Beast Mode. Beast Mode dominates the 49ers. He's one of the only running backs in the league that can rush for 90 to 100 or 100-plus against this defense. And, you know, they have all their players back. Alden Smith, who was out with his personal issues in the beginning of the year, he played in both Seattle games. I believe they're without Carlos Rogers, their DB, or supposedly their best DB, but I feel like they've been playing better without him in the lineup lately. They didn't need him for the Green Bay game. They didn't need him for that last week game against Carolina. You know, Cam didn't play that well in his first playoff game, and the Seahawks are a team that's been there, as well as the 49ers, and I think it'll be just the same as all the regular season games are. Every time the 49ers and the Seahawks meet up, it seems to be a playoff atmosphere. Seattle, the city's jacked up, and more often than not, the last 2 years, we've routed them. So I don't see anything different. One concern that I do have with Seattle is that KJ Wright possibly isn't playing. And personally, I don't think that he'll play. I don't think that Percy will play or be very relevant, Percy Harvin. But, I mean, he hasn't played with us all season, so I don't think that's that big of a deal just yet. Brian, what do you kind of see going on in the Seattle game? How do you feel about this rivalry and the outlook of this game?
One thing that really terrifies me is the offensive production against the Saints. The offense struggled a little bit. Defense lights out. And it was because of the defense of the Seattle Seahawks were able to beat the Saints. But then again, this upcoming game, we saw the 49ers dismantle the Panthers on the road. So now they're coming in on the road into Seattle. And I think if the Seahawks defense can turn it up, shut down Anquan Boldin. You saw Jimmy Graham get one reception for 8 yards when we played the Saints. And Jimmy Graham, I think Bruce got into his head a little bit before the game, talking trash. He punted his ball across the field, and then Jimmy Graham took his beanie off and threw it on the ground. They got into an argument. So I think if the Seahawks can get into the 49ers' heads before the game, just like they did, got in the Saints' heads, it's going to throw the 49ers right off their game. Boldin, you saw him slamming people's face masks after every catch and talking trash. You best believe that Richard Sherman is going to be throwing it right back in his face every time he does it. So should be fun to watch Boldin and Richard Sherman go after each other and Vernon Davis and Cam Chancellor battle it out and Cam Chancellor take his head off if he comes over the middle. So
for a third time?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch how Kaepernick reacts. And you saw the article that Mike Glennon was interviewed in, came out today or yesterday, and he said it's the loudest atmosphere he's ever played in, and it's different than domes. It's way louder than domes, and nothing compares. So if there's players around the league coming out saying that there's no way to hear in CenturyLink Field, and they came in the regular season, how's it gonna be in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. And Seattle is just a place where you just don't go in there and win. And that's why, you know, these games are so important to have home field advantage because of, you know, there are no fans better than Seattle fans. There's no fans as loud. They don't have the stadium, the capacity to, you know, withhold that sound, with, you know, to prevent the other team from being in, on the same page. It's not something that you can practice. You can't, you know, turn the speakers up to a certain amount to see what the crowd noise is going to be like. You can't prepare yourself for that atmosphere. And it's one thing that the Seahawks don't have to deal with. They never have to deal with the sound of the stadium when they're on offense. Defense, they don't have to hear anything. You know, they have to make sure that Kaepernick doesn't run and, you know, throws a bad pass as he has been all season long. So, yeah. You know, hopefully we can capitalize on some of his mistakes as, you know, when he comes into Seattle, he, you know, stats show that he gets pretty rattled. So I think that we'll be all right and, you know, it'll be a great game nonetheless.
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing is making Kaepernick throw the football. He wants to run the read option. He wants to run with the ball. If you make him throw it, eventually he's going to make a mistake because he's not that good of a passing quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like a – I don't want to compare him to Cam Newton, but if you were to pick whether Cam Newton runs or he passes, you want Cam Newton to throw the football. And mm-hmm. I think that's what the 49ers forced him to do, and that's what the Seahawks are going to have to force out of Kaepernick. They're going to have to force him to throw the ball, and we've seen it. It'll bounce off helmets, hands, whatever – whoever's there. The Seattle defense is just too good, and – hopefully there's not three guys in the area that are fighting for the ball again, like
yeah.
running into each other like the last couple
that was,
weeks.
That was a little embarrassing, but, you know, and a little scary. I believe that Sherman got shaken up. I don't think they ever reported what the supposed injury at the time was, but, you know, knowing Sherman, I'm sure it was, you know, he just wanted to give the Seattle fans a little scare and, you know, shake them up a little bit, but that's Sherman for you. I love him for it, and I hope he comes in second for Defensive Player of the Year because I hope my guy Earl gets it. But
after he got shaken up,
talk about defenses. I think that the 49ers defense is great as well. You know, they locked up Russell Wilson in every matchup. I think he's thrown a pick and a touchdown in every matchup they've played, as well as Kaepernick. The Seahawks defense, of course, has played great. He did terrible in Seattle, threw three picks, and just all he does is run against Seattle because of their, you know, our secondary is so good. And, you know, without KJ and that speed that he has, I don't know how well Malcolm Smith will do or Bruce Irvin, but, you know, our team is so deep, and I'm confident that whoever fills in or, you know, whatever San Francisco tries to throw at us will be, it'll be just as if KJ was in there.
Yeah, Vernon Davis, I think, is going to have to be locked down, maybe by a linebacker. So if Bruce Irvin or KJ Wright, maybe Bobby Wagner has to come over and guard Vernon Davis. I'm hoping that they can shut him down just like Jimmy Graham was shut down. But sometimes Richard Sherman would take Jimmy Graham. They'd kind of switch off depending on the set. So I'm thinking either Richard Sherman or, you know, Bobby Wagner, maybe Bruce. Any of those guys are going to have to step up and guard Vernon Davis. But I think if they can lock down Jimmy Graham, they'll have no problem with Vernon Davis.
I agree. I think it's I think Bruce should have to do it. I think, you know, his showing last year against the Falcons was absolutely miserable. And, you know, with KJ down, it's his chance to shine again in a big playoff matchup. And I think he can do it this time. I think he's got enough experience. He knows kind of what the 49ers are all about. And it's his time.
Well, yeah, and I think since he moved him to linebacker, since they've got the Monstars team when it comes to the defensive ends, he's going to have to take that role of being a linebacker and start getting some tackles, start getting some interceptions if he's guarding somebody that's running a route. And, you know, Bruce has good speed. It's just whether he can keep up and run those routes with the receivers and the tight ends. That's pretty much what it comes down to. And I think as long as his head's screwed on tight, then he can do it.
I hope so. I hope that his head is screwed on tight and hope that he can get to the quarterback. But, you know, talking about quarterbacks, I feel like the yearly matchup of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady over in the AFC is going down. And, you know, I'm really surprised with what the Patriots have got going for them. I didn't think that they'd make it this far, especially with their preseason issues. What do you kind of take of this game? You know, does it have any extra meaning behind it? Or, you know, is it just another game, shootout, like every game?
Well, we've seen it so many times in the playoffs, which is pretty rare. You see teams playing for the second and third times this year. And we saw the first matchup between them. Denver just completely blew it in the second half and let the Patriots come all the way back and beat them. So this time I think the Broncos are going to have a chip on their shoulder. They're going to be angry about it. They're going to want to come out. And although Brady and Manning both have the utmost respect for each other, they always say it, they're both great quarterbacks. They've got respect for each other. but they're kind of competing for the most elite quarterback in the AFC. So they're going to want to come out. They're each going to want to show why they're the best quarterback in the AFC. And then Brady also doesn't have these elite receivers anymore. He's got Kendrell Tompkins. He's got Julian Edelman. It's just Danny Amendola, who knows with him. He's been on IR/injured list the entire year. I guess you could say temporary IR, and then he just randomly comes back and gets injured again. He's like a Percy Harvin, but like injury-wise. Percy Harvin has got way more talent than Danny Amendola, but Danny Amendola needs to show that he can stay healthy and get out there and prove himself. So I think both these teams are just both coming out trying to show what they can do, and I think it's going to be an offensive shootout because I don't really respect either of their defenses, although the Denver defense looked pretty good against the Chargers. Can't really base that on much because the Chargers don't have much going for them, so when you give up 17 points to the Chargers, I think it's okay. But when you're going against a high-powered offense such as Denver or New England, I think the defenses are going to be suspect, so it should be interesting to watch an offensive shootout.
It will. I think the Patriots' defense is real good, and, you know, if the Seahawks, hopefully the Seahawks advance, but if the Seahawks advance, I would much rather face the Broncos' defense, who doesn't have Von Miller, than to face the Patriots' defense, who's really good. Patriots, a lot of people talk about Tom Brady and what he's done with those receivers and running backs. The running game as well for the Patriots has been amazing. As you saw from the last game, I believe they had 6 touchdowns on the ground. But the defense is what really holds that team together. Their secondary is good. McCourty's back there. Talib is back there. He's like a Sherman type, but, you know, he's just... But this matchup, it's kind of the opposite of the NFC matchup. This matchup is more of the history of the game, you know, two of the greats of all time battling it out. And the NFC is more of, you know, two of the new up-and-coming young guys, the guys that will hopefully be in this league for a long time, and it'll be a great matchup. You know, you don't think about it right now, but Kaepernick and Wilson are the game's top quarterbacks, and they're in the same division. So as an NFC West fan and, you know, a member of the Northwest, we get to watch those games twice a year. So to see it a third time, always a playoff atmosphere, it'll be great. But, you know, back to the Patriots and Broncos game, I think that Tom Brady and Peyton both have respect for each other. You know, they go back and forth breaking each other's records all the time, but, you know, I think this game means a lot more to Peyton. Tom, it would be great for him to go win another championship, and it'll be his, like, 5th, I think, or 4th, maybe. But, you know, Peyton, supposedly the best quarterback of all time, he only has 1 championship, and, you know, winning it for him would be the Colts organization. Jim Irsay thought that he was done, his career was over, he wouldn't last very long. No disrespect to Andrew Luck, he's a good quarterback, but, you know, he is no Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is the best quarterback that we'll ever see.
Omaha, Omaha, Omaha!
And, you know, watching him every week is absolutely amazing, and, you know, I think that he definitely has what it takes, especially with that high-powered offense, arguably the best offense of all time. Led by the best quarterback of all time, will handle the Patriots as they should have if Wes Welker wouldn't have fumbled at the end of that game.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Demaryius Thomas, do you think Eric Decker, do you think the Denver Broncos receivers would be prime receivers on any other team if you didn't have Peyton Manning throwing them the football?
I will say Julius Thomas would not. Decker would not. Demaryius probably would be decent. I don't know if he'd be a star like he is now.
If you had to make him a number one receiver on a team with a mediocre quarterback, do you think he could still be a number one receiver?
No. I don't think that he can make a quarterback. I think guys that can make a quarterback are people like Brandon Marshall. Anquan obviously has helped Kaepernick a lot, as well as Crabtree. But when Crabtree was out, it was Anquan holding up the receiving core and Kaepernick.
Calvin Johnson.
Calvin for sure. Calvin made everybody who stepped foot on the field for the Lions a good quarterback. I believe Sean Hill was a considerable fantasy quarterback when he had Calvin.
But, yeah.
You know, it's a thin list, and I don't think Demaryius is elite. he's no Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison was a great receiver with a great quarterback, you know, kind of like a T.O., kind of like Calvin, and, you know, we'll see what Stafford is, but, you know, Stafford is not a bad quarterback. I just don't think that Demarius is a superstar just yet.
I would have to agree with that, and I think Peyton Manning has done such a great job just making his receivers, just making them all look good, and everyone's jumping on the bandwagon all over Eric Decker and Demarius Thomas. No disrespect to them. They're obviously NFL wide receivers, but at the same time, they're not anything special, and Peyton Manning is making them look special. We saw Deion Branch in Seattle. Everyone thought he was washed up. They released him, goes to the Patriots, starts having receiving yards and getting separation and all that. Why do you think? Because they're going to have to account for Tom Brady's arm. They have to start covering other people. It's going to leave somebody open. So I think Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, they make the receivers. And once they're in the system, he's going to make you look a lot better than any other quarterback in the league.
Oh, yeah. Definitely agree with that.
But I think back to the AFC-NFC matchups, I think we're going to see a defensive showdown in Seattle. And in Denver, it'll be more of an offensive showdown because I don't think they're nearly as good of defense as the Patriots or the Broncos, so I think it'll be higher scoring in Denver than it will be in Seattle.
You see, I'll partially agree with that. I think it'll be higher scoring for sure, the combined score for the Broncos and Patriots game, but I don't think that the Seattle game is going to be that close. both times, I mean, you could say I'm a biased source, that's all right, but, you know, looking at the past two times the 49ers have come into Seattle, I think what was the score of the first game? I think it was like we scored like 40 or something last year. And then this year it was like 29-3. They've both been blowout games. And it just shows Kaepernick, I don't know what it is with Seattle or in Seattle. Because when we went to San Francisco, he played great. You know, he came up with a big run there on third down with I think there was like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Driving in the red zone, they just needed to get a field goal, but, you know, he ran, I think it was like third and eight, or it was third and long, and he ran, got the first down, and ran the clock down to kick the game-winning field goal for them. So, you know, he just seems like a different quarterback at home than when he comes to Seattle, and when he goes up against good defenses, he's just, not that he's a bad quarterback, he's a playmaker, he's a good quarterback. If I didn't have Russell Wilson on my team, I would love to have him, but, you know, I guess we got stuck with Russ, who, you know, what can you do?
Yeah.
But, you know, like I was saying, is he's just, he threw three picks. I'm sure he had given up in that game when Seattle was blowing him out here. But I don't know. Teams just coming to Seattle don't play well. You know, the Saints were the number one team for a long time this year. They came to Seattle Monday night. We blew them out. Came back in last week for the divisional game and just couldn't get it done. So,
and Drew Brees was held to under 100 passing yards going into the fourth quarter. One of the most elite quarterbacks in the league.
You know, he's one of the best, if not the best. He's probably arguably up there with Peyton. He's the only quarterback that's in the 5,000-plus club multiple times. I think he's in there like five times, and there's only four quarterbacks that have thrown for 5,000, and the other guys have only done it one time. So, you know, to shut down one of the best quarterbacks of all time twice in a row and make his team, you know, come into your hometown and not look anything like a number one power-ranked team is, you know, a credit to the fans, a credit to the defense, and, you know, the organization in general. So I don't think that the game is going to be as close. On paper, it looks like it's going to be a great game, but, you know, history shows that they just don't play well when they come into Seattle.
I have to agree with that. And we're just about ready to wrap it up, but a bonus question. What kind of gum will Pete Carroll be chewing on the sideline this Sunday?
Personally, my favorite kind of gum is the Sean White Stride gum.
I actually have that up in my room right now.
But knowing Big Pete, he seems maybe like some Winter Fresh or some old school, maybe some Zebra gum.
Zebra Stripe, I like it. I think I'm going with either bubble tape or an extra classic bubble. He just looks like he's more of a classic bubble gum type guy. So I guess we'll have
like
to ask him.
Chew type of guy?
What's that?
Not a big league chew type of guy?
You know, he could be a big league chew type guy. I mean, we're going to have to get a personal interview on the Revolutionary Sports Show with Pete Carroll, find out what kind of gum he likes to chew on game days.
Some real groundbreaking stuff, you know?
I mean, hey, if you can get Mike Leach to talk about Halloween costumes, it shouldn't be too hard to get Pete Carroll to talk about his chewing gum, right?
I think we can do it.
Definitely. We'll have to find him after the NFC Championship and ask him some questions, not about the game. People will be like, oh, coach, how was it on this play? We'll be like, hey, a question right in the back. What kind of gum do you chew?
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Like, hi, I'm Brian from the Revolutionary Sports Show. Great game, coach, but I was just curious, what kind of gum do you chew?
What? I don't think it's that dumb of a question because he sits there smacking on his gum and 99% of the time he's got gum in his mouth. So I think it's valuable information to a sports fan.
It's a valid question, you know. It's great marketing.
Oh, for sure. All right, well, I think that just about wraps it up. We'll see what happens in this upcoming NFC-AFC championship, and we will have another Revolutionary Sports Show for you next week. We'll catch you next week. I'm Brian Duchesne.
I'm Corey Sullivan.
See you later. The new